so still. Unstitch your lips, I brought, I pick. How can I break your seal? Your silence is haunting, my mind is exhausting. Is anything in that shell?
What's up, everybody? This is Joel Barsky with the Irie Chat Podcast. You were just listening to a song called Mannequin by our guest today, Sammy Constantine. I like this song so much that I thought to play it out in the intro and outro of this episode. Sammy Constantine is a singer-songwriter based out of Sydney, Australia. She's been dropping a couple of singles and videos this year, and we thought to give her a call just for a chat. Listen to us talk about her touring with Rita Ora, a mobile cafe she started, and much more. So enjoy our Irie Chat as we say what's up to Sammy Constantine. Sammy Constantine, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I know you're based, I believe, in Sydney, Australia. So how's the corona situation been for you?
Yeah, I am. It's actually all right. I mean, considering everything, I think we're doing okay at this point. Yeah.
Well, I heard so much about like New Zealand obviously did well in trying to just contain it and everything. So Australia is not too far from there. So was it the same way or was it a little different?
We definitely had like a scary couple of months there, like especially like in the beginning. We were like, I mean, we went into lockdown pretty quickly, probably not as quick as it could have, but quickly enough. And yeah, people are still really cautious, but for the most part, I think everyone's kind of like developed the habits they need to just kind of stay safe now, and everyone's kind of okay. Like, it's not like, oh my God, what's going on anymore? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's great. So are you all able to like travel too around and like to other countries? Is it still fine in doing that?
No, I think borders are still closed. I think borders are open to come into New South Wales, but I think we can't go to like overseas or anything international, but I think we can go to Queensland. There's still a lot of quarantine happening, so to be honest, I haven't even looked too much into it because I'm like, well, I'm not going anywhere, you know what I mean? So I'm just gonna sit tight until the world figures its stuff out.
Well, since the quarantine, you've been actually pretty creative. You've actually been releasing a lot of singles, I noticed, this year in comparison to the previous years. So were these singles all planned out before the pandemic happened, or you just decided to get really creative and start releasing new music around then?
Yeah, I actually planned all of this prior. And then, I don't know, I definitely had a moment where I thought, you know, is this the right thing to be doing considering everything that's going on? And I think I'd already released one single when it all kind of hit in March, and which was Mannequin. And we kind of reevaluated for a little bit, but I decided that, you know, why would I stop making music, which is, you know, the reason that I'm on this earth. Do you know what I mean? Like, it kind of seemed strange to stop my purpose when just because something was happening. I don't know. I definitely battled with a little bit of, I want to say, guilt around releasing music for a little while there. But, you know, I've had a lot of feedback since that to kind of say, no, like it makes so much sense that you would give music to the world in this time. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Have you thought of other ways of being creative besides just focusing on music?
Well, I guess like, you know, being forced to be indoors and being forced to kind of, you know, I guess be focused on just staying still was a challenge. So for me, you know, to be creative inside and alone has been creative in itself because I've had to find ways to stay sane. You know, like I'm a big fitness fanatic. I love going to the gym. I love being outside, and that's a big part of my mental health and kind of staying on top and in check with myself is to be really distracted and do a lot of things. So you know, like I just started writing. I had a big mental block for a little bit there, like I wasn't writing anything. But then when I really settled down and stayed still and embraced what was happening, just writing and just jamming, and we were drawing, we were painting.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of go back to your roots a little bit. You kind of go back to school and you're sort of like, oh, wow, like you don't have to be doing so many different things and going to every party and all that kind of thing. It was really interesting.
Yeah. So was it pretty easy for you to be quarantined? Because I think I saw somewhere that you actually live on a farm and you have a lot of farm animals around. So was it quarantined pretty easy for you just because you've lived on such big land?
Well, I actually moved from the farm before this. So I've been living at the farm is on the Central Coast where I grew up. It's about an hour and a half north of Sydney. So I moved about a year and a half ago now. So now I'm in Sydney. I'm in the city. So lucky for me, my boyfriend lives across the road and it's really beautiful. Okay. And I've got two really great housemates. So we've been kind of keeping busy here and it's been bearable. I did do one house move during quarantine, which was very interesting. Not from the farm to Sydney, but just within Sydney. But yeah, I mean, I do wonder, you know, if I was still at the farm, I don't think I would have done as well, to be completely honest with you, because it's very isolating, you know, and it's already this whole pandemic, this whole thing has been so isolating. So I think being on the farm would have actually been worse for me. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, you were actually coming up from a pretty big year. I mean, going into 2020, because you actually had a tour with opening up for Rita Ora in Australia. So what'd you take out of that experience when you were on tour with her?
Yeah, I sure did. And that seems like a whole lifetime ago now, which is crazy. So that was early 2019. Yeah. Honestly, it was one of the best experiences of my life. It was all so fast-paced and random. Like I really only got told officially that it was happening a week before we actually had to fly for the first show. So everything, yeah, it was wild. So everything was really... kind of touch and go, and I had to learn a lot. And I think the biggest thing I learned was trusting the process and kind of just not having control of every single tiny aspect of everything that was going to happen, because it was completely impossible for me to be able to do that with such a short amount of time to prepare everything. So I learned a lot from that experience.
Did you get a chance to just learn her tips on being a singer and everything?
A little bit. Like we kind of crossed paths a few times. Like, you know, she'd come into my dressing room and say, hey, good luck, you know, that kind of thing. But to be honest with you, it was very, like I said, it was just like fly in, take a nap, get to the show, sound check, and then she'd do her sound check and, you know, play the show, go home, sleep, do it all again. So it was like, we had a few nights, we went out with their band and we had a few dinner nights and stuff, but I wish I had more time, but it was like a week. Everything happened in a week and that's so crazy, you know what I mean? It was like, whoa. But yeah, she's crazy. She's just absolutely insane live and as a person. So awesome.
Well, and you got a chance to, you know, perform at some awesome venues. So I was just curious, like what venues would you like to headline at?
Oof. You know, I've been asked this question before and I never know, because I just go, like, I don't care where the venue is. I just would love to have the opportunity to play to as many people as possible. You know, like I don't care if I'm like in the middle of a park or in the middle of the desert. Like I just think it's so awesome to be able to be on stage. You know what I mean? So it'd be awesome to play Coachella or something. Like, that would be a goal.
How about a geographic location? Is there a certain country or a region that you would like to perform at?
I would I know this is so random and I don't even know if there's like, you know, a huge music industry here, but I would love to play in like Norway. I don't know why. Okay.
That is interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the artist Aurora? Oh, she's amazing, but she's from Norway. And I don't know why, but I just feel like it would be such an engaging crowd. And they're such beautiful people. Oh. They have such a great way of life. So I really love that side of the world. So I think that's why.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Amazing. Halsey has actually been a big inspiration for you. So why has Halsey been so impactful?
Honestly, the biggest thing for me about Halsey is that she is just so unapologetic about her lyrics and so... you know, like just straight down the line. If she thinks something, she says it. And, you know, sometimes I think can get all of us in trouble a little bit, but I really admire it. Yeah. And I'm a little bit the same. Like I really, you know, as a person in general, a lot of my friends are like, Sam, you can't just say that. I'm like, but why? It's the truth, you know? So I think I kind of like relate in that way. And I really love the kind of the dark, the dark lyrics wrapped up in a pop song. I just think it's really smart. And it just gets me going. I just love it. And I love to dance to it. And yeah, she's awesome.
No, I never looked at Halsey that way. I mean, I'm a big fan of her music, but you're right. There's something like unapologetic about her that, you know, she does say anything, or especially her music videos and stuff. Like, she doesn't care.
Not at all. It's so great. And it's just refreshing as well, you know, especially for a female in this industry, you know, to just, there's a lot of people doing it not very tasteful, I'll say. That's probably for lack of better words, it's not as tastefully done by a lot of females. And I just really think she nails it.
Oh, yeah. In addition to being a singer, you're also a songwriter and you write your own songs. And also an inspiration to you on when it comes to music writing is Sia. So why has Sia been so inspirational?
I think the same sort of thing, you know, she's very, she's mysterious, but she's also very sure of herself in a weird way. Like, I know she kind of struggles with a few mental health things, I'll say. I don't like saying problems. I don't believe that. But, you know, I just think the whole like not showing her face thing is because, you know, to me that's like, she doesn't need to be about her. It's about the music. And I really admire that. Also, she's just a crazy songwriter. Like, where does that come from? You know what I mean? Like, her visual concepts I really admire as well. So I think that would probably be one of my biggest goals. If I could get in a room with Sia and Halsey, I could die a very happy lady.
Imagine those two collaborating. Have they ever worked together on a song?
I mean, not that I know of, not publicly known, but I think I'd pay in that room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that needs to happen. Yeah. I need to see a song like that could change the world between those two.
100%. 100%.
I've also heard that you've written for K-pop singers. So I'm curious, are there any K-pop songs or artists that people might be familiar with?
Well, none that I'm allowed to announce yet, actually. However, hopefully I can very soon. But there's definitely a few kind of on their way to being released, which is really exciting. Yeah. I did have one release last year for a Chinese girl band, C-pop, called, I think they're called Rocket Girls 101.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But that's really, really fun. Yeah, honestly, there's like hundreds of songs right now that I'm like kind of waiting to hear back for. So it's a really, really fun, really fun concept to get into a whole nother space of writing. Because it's so different. It's like, it's creative, but in a whole nother part of my brain creative, if that makes sense. Like, for my music, it's like so personal, and for someone else, it's personal to them. So I can bring in personal experience, but for K-pop, it's generally nothing I've experienced before. And it's just a different world. I can't really explain it any other way than that, you know?
So are you a big listener to K-pop music?
I am, but only, I mean, I've been kind of like working at the K-pop thing for about almost 4 years now, but I didn't know about it until then. So as of 4 years ago, I've kind of been listening on and off. I'm very particular about which K-pop I like to listen to. I actually prefer the boy bands, which is funny. but before that, I didn't even know it existed, to be honest.
You know, it's funny. I guess back when I was younger, it was like a lot of American boy bands that pretty much were international. But now it's like K-pop boy bands.
100%.
I've heard also that before you actually got into music, you were actually a dancer. So what made you change careers from your interest in being a dancer to being a full-time musician?
Yeah, this is an interesting kind of part of my journey and my story. Basically, and I'm really open about this, but I was hospitalized for anorexia, and it was kind of the stage where I was starting to take dance really seriously, and I was kind of, I think I would have been 16. Yeah, I would have been 16. The hospitalization was sort of forced upon me. Like, I didn't know it was going to happen. I was very much, running towards this dancing goal, and I didn't realize how sick I was until I was hospitalized. And then I started writing in hospital and just my thoughts, you know, just how I was feeling, just what was going on, just a way to express myself. I was on bed rest, forced bed rest for 5 of the 6 weeks or maybe 4 of the 6 weeks. It was a long time. And so I really didn't have anything else to do. I really didn't know how to get out what I was feeling. It was a really awful experience. And I did a lot of self-reflection and it was very isolating. So that's where I started to write. And as I came out of hospital, you know, I kind of found this new sense of purpose and started learning the guitar. And I don't know, it just happened. Like it just kind of formed into, what if I did this properly? What if I actually like asked someone how to do this and put songs together? And Is that a thing? You know, and I started talking to people and it's a weird thing. I just never thought it would be a thing that I would do. It's really interesting.
So are you trying to also get into other instrumentals besides playing the guitar?
I've recently started learning the piano, but I wouldn't say I'm there yet with it. My boyfriend is also an artist, Gabriel Paris, and he can play every instrument you can think of, cello, like guitar, piano, everything. So he's teaching me a little bit and I'm loving that. It's really cool.
An interesting thing I've heard about you is that you actually started your own mobile cafe business. So how'd you get into that?
Yeah, I did. It's crazy. So how did I get into that? That's a great question. As I came out of hospital, I was, I don't know. I actually had to quit school. So that's where I started. Yeah. My gosh, I'm like going back 10 years, you know, need to remember. Quit school because it wasn't working for me mental health wise. I really needed to restart. So I got a full-time job at a cafe. And I was kind of just working and I realized that I hated it. Like it was so soul crushing to work in a cafe as a 17-year-old. And just, you know, I had all this creativity inside me and I went from, you know, loving dance to, just so much creativity and so much passion to just serving people in a cafe. And not that there's anything wrong with people that do that, but for me, it was this burning passion to do something more. Yeah. Anyway. And, you know, I was talking to my mom one day, and we came into some sort of inheritance and we wanted to do something, with that. And so we decided to start our own business. And, I ran it with her and my partner at the time. And we just had a lot of fun with it. We just built it up from the ground. It was something that was our own. I put a lot of passion into it. I worked it to the ground. Like we worked so hard on that and all up, I think I worked it for about, I think it was 7 years in total that we did that for.
Oh, wow.
And it helped me save up for every release, every single that I put out over the same time. Cause I was doing music and I was also studying at the same time. So, it helped me pay for music for a little while, which was awesome.
So what was the name of the business?
It was called the Little Street Cafe.
Little Street Cafe. I like that. When I heard about that, I never heard of a mobile cafe business, but I was like, I should start that around here.
Really? Where are you based?
I'm in South Florida, but plenty of people just need coffee. I don't think people really want to go out anywhere too, especially to cafes. So, you know, having coffee brought to you is an amazing idea.
I am so shocked that that's not a thing in America already because I've been on this for like I said, like it'd be 10 years now since I started the coffee van and now it's everywhere in Australia. Honestly, like not where I started, Sydney, everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. You practically owned that idea. I think you...
I did. I actually did.
Yeah. You owned this idea. Like I think you could follow something like, hey, I should get a piece of everyone's...
Yeah. 100%. Like a royalty cut.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And 100%. And talk about really being devoted to it. I even saw like a video of you having a van that was a custom-built coffee van. So it was pretty much your own invention that you made. Like, how did you even make that?
Well, I'm very, very short. I know my photos don't look like I'm short. I have very talented photographers. But I'm very short. So we had to kind of customize the whole thing. So we actually just got in contact with someone in Sydney. And he actually... built the van.
My measurements.
Yeah, well, it was necessary because it's like usually they do it in these big, I don't know if you have this particular, I mean, I'm sure you've got Mercedes, there's big Mercedes kind of vans, but we put it in a V-dub caddy. I don't know if you guys have V-dub caddies. Yeah. Anyway, so it was like a smaller version of a van just to fit Sammy-sized me.
I love the idea. I'm really going to ponder this idea. I have a Toyota Prius, so it's a small vehicle, but it has a nice hatchback. But yeah, when I saw like your custom-made van, I was thinking, how can I put that into my Prius and just drive around and give people coffee? Like, I'm sure you brighten people's day with just some nice, good coffee in the morning. Oh, yeah.
I was the coffee lady or the coffee girl. And they were like, coffee lady's here. Oh, my God. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Crazy. I couldn't have a day off because people would get so upset.
Well, I mean, part of my dream was to always be a barista too. So like I always wanted to like work at a coffee shop and just because you're kind of like a bartender also because you get to hear people's problems and people talk to you.
Yeah, like a hairdresser. I think you've just found your calling. I think this chat has just like figured you out. You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Custom made coffee van barista.
That's awesome.
And you were talking about your music. I've heard that you like to challenge yourself with controversial topics. And you mentioned earlier about mental health. So what do you find challenging about that issue?
I think for a little while, especially when I started writing music, personally, the challenge was that, am I allowed to talk about this? Am I going to embarrass my family? Am I going to be seen as the girl who recovered from this or the girl that's struggling with? And so that was the personal challenge. But I think like the general challenge is how is this going to be received in general, you know, from the people that are listening or the people that I'm maybe trying to impress or, you know, the industry and things like that. So I do think that the topic, when I say that they're controversial, I mean that they're topics that, you know, when someone says, how are you? You don't go, I'm doing okay, but I had a bad day yesterday and I cried for 3 hours. And do you know what I mean? Like that's not what people do. You just go, good, thanks, how are you?
Yeah.
So that's why it's controversial to me. It's just, and I just think it'd be great if people were a little bit more honest and obviously time and place and person, but that's the challenge for me, I think.
That is interesting. And I kind of wish more people talked about mental health because, I mean, mental health is an important issue and a topic that a lot of people, I would say, try to cover up just because they're embarrassed to admit that they are going to a therapist or just trying to find some ways to help them mentally, especially during under quarantine where, a lot, from what I understand, like suicide rate is pretty high and just like people mentally are having trouble or struggles under quarantine because they are having just less mobility and just seeing people, talking to people.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's like so crazy that the concept of seeing a therapist is shameful. Like if anything, it's brave as hell. I mean, I've been doing it since I was like 14 years old. I'm now 27, you know, like, and I just think without that, I don't know where I'd even be.
Oh yeah.
And why is that shameful? Like it's more shameful if I'd, you know, never recovered. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's so important to talk about.
Now, I always think that, I mean, if you definitely can afford to see a therapist or a psychiatrist, I mean, definitely take advantage of that. But if you don't, I mean, just have somebody to talk to or be around. But it's like either or. I mean, if you don't have anyone around, at least if you can afford it, just find a therapist. But yeah, you just need someone to talk to. I mean, even just pick up a phone or anything.
Well, it's like that saying, it's so, so simple. You have to speak to be heard.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't get any more simple than that. You know, like no one is going to understand or know unless you talk about it, you know?
Under quarantine, I mean, to help you for your own mental health, do you do anything therapeutic to help you out that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do, but I think, I don't know if it's like the norm, you know, a lot of people would meditate or, I don't know, cook or something. But for me, I exercise and I like to walk. I write. What do I do? Like, honestly, I don't really do anything that's like totally crazy. It's just more about like kind of just what is my body feeling right now? You know, I need to get up and move. So I'll go for a walk. Obviously, like I said, I do see therapists, and I talk to a lot of different people. But for me, it's just listening to my body and figuring out what it needs. Or maybe I need to like cook a big feast up and eat it. You know what I mean? Maybe that's all I need and I'm great, you know?
What do you usually like to cook?
I'm not an extensive cook, but I'm really good at spaghetti bolognese. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. I bet that's good. It's a typical Australian dish or something in Sydney that would be a good dish to make.
It's so funny. I was talking about this with my friends the other day. I was out with three of my friends and they're all Italian. And they were, I said to them, I was like, what's literally what you just said? I was like, what is an Aussie meal that like people know? And they were like, I have no idea. And I was like, there's got to be something. And they were like, maybe like sniddy on the barbecue. And I'm thinking, I don't even remember the last time I had a barbecue. Like, that's not it. But I think a big thing at the moment is like acai bowls and what's the other big one? Just like.
Like red meat or steak, something like that. Is that a big, like something Aussie?
Probably, but I'm like mostly a vegetarian. So not for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just listen to what my body wants. Like I said, it's like, I need sugar, so I'll go have some fruit whatever. Like, I'm just so at this point, I just try to listen. I'm just trying to do a bit more intuitive eating. Otherwise I tend to get a little bit wrapped up in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned earlier Mannequin, but another song I'm a big fan of is Heroin. And I actually heard that you really get emotional in singing that song. So why is that?
Heroin is the kind of the part in the story of all these singles where I realized that, you know, I have to be my own hero. I have to kind of be the person that decides that I'm going to choose recovery, I'm going to be better. And that doesn't necessarily just apply to, for me, the anorexia. Like, I'm hoping that it's relatable for many people. You know, even if you're in a relationship, you got to be the hero in that situation if that relationship goes bad and you need out. Like, it's not up to somebody else to get you out. So I just wanted it to be like just the badass, like, but not badass. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's a great song. And you've been actually coming out with some great visuals too. So we're also planning some more visuals because you've actually been making some great music videos. And I'm curious how you are doing it under like the whole quarantine and just keeping social distancing.
Yeah, to be honest, a lot of it was filmed before. I did a lot of it during January, February. So grateful to have been able to do that. And then I filmed, I'm not sure if you've seen the Trigger Heavy music video, one with the big red skirt.
Yeah.
We did that one 2 weeks before we got locked down. So it was kind of like not sure where we were at with quarantine at that point, or with the coronavirus in general. So we were really lucky to have got that one done. And then everything from there, like Growing Pains, the newest single, we did that in my friend's garage, honestly. So pretty much we had a lot of it done before. Yeah. I said, it was all planned prior to coronavirus. So I was pretty lucky.
Did you play any part in like behind the scenes visuals, like maybe directing or maybe gave the person like a camera, like an idea of how you want the video to be played out?
Definitely. I pretty much, I take a lot of pride in the fact that I pretty much direct everything myself. Like, obviously I can't be behind the camera. It's not what I do. And obviously I have to be in front of the camera. So, I would say I'm very bossy and I very much know exactly what I want, visually. So I do all the storyboarding and all the, production, and I sit by the editing process the whole time. I want this here and I want this here and it's going to go here. So I have a lot to do with it. It's a big passion of mine. I was doing the only other thing that I think I was doing after hospital was taking photos of everything. That's always been something that I've been obsessed with.
So are you going to try to learn some more about directing and editing yourself as you are progressing as an artist and just making more music visuals?
Yeah. I mean, I already do quite a lot of editing myself. So anything, you know, that you see on my social media that isn't a music video, I've edited myself. I do pretty much everything myself. So, and because I love it. So I definitely you know, want to keep learning and progressing with those skills. But I don't think I would get into directing or anything. I don't think I have the time, to be completely honest. But I really love doing it for myself because it's easy, because it's my vision, you know?
Yeah.
I get that. I'm just really passionate.
Yeah. Well, with all these singles, I've heard that you are actually preparing or working on a body of work. I don't know if it's going to come out this year or sometime next year, but are you able to share a little what we can expect from that album?
Yeah, I'm just kind of slowly building. I'm not really putting pressure on myself at the moment for a date or anything like that. But what I'm kind of doing is I'm just kind of conceptually getting everything ready for a body of work that I've been working on for, honestly, forever. Like, I'm talking years. I've written hundreds of songs. I'm just really trying to make sure I've got the right songs for this first body of work. And so I'm really excited, but at the moment, I'm rolling out those singles. For the remainder of this year, I'm going to probably release one more, and then I'm going to really think about the next step and putting a few little surprises together. So, yeah, it's been a big year already, so I definitely need to take a breath.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
So, Sammy, we're at a new segment in this podcast called Self-Reflections. So this question is, what's the best thing you learned about yourself during this whole pandemic or quarantine?
Oh, wow. It's crazy because just to get real personal here for a second, and I talked about this on my social media, like I think yesterday or the day before. So I'm still kind of in and out of relapses with this anorexia thing that kind of just keeps haunting me. And during the pandemic, I actually gained 10 kilos, which for a lot of people is like, oh, ew. But for me, really healthy gain, really healthy weight gain. So, and it was very necessary. So I've learned to be more accepting of things that need to happen and things that I can't or shouldn't control, rather. And I've also, like, you know, you said self-reflecting. I've also learned how to do that better, like more efficiently. And it's been really, really good for my mental and physical health. So I'm really proud of myself for that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, since we're wrapping up, is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
Anything I want to share? Oh, I don't even know. I guess, like, just hold tight. Like, I feel like this whole pandemic thing is scary. And I think that's the only thing I can kind of comment on right now. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, the only thing we can do is, you know, stay together and everything happens for a reason. That I live by that. Have high hopes and low expectations and everything happens for a reason. That's where I'm at.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I think I'm going to start getting more creative and start a mobile cafe business. Now you got me. Yes. Now you got the wheels turning on that idea for me. I got to start that idea like immediately.
That's amazing. Maybe you'll be the first in the US and then you can give me credit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll give you a little piece of the pie. Yeah. You gave me the idea. I got to give you something, you know.
I love it. That's so awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem. But I appreciate this chat that we've had. But Sammy Constantine, thank you so much for joining us in IRE Chat and best of luck on everything.
Thanks so much for having me. Tongue, fill up your lungs. Why won't you bend down? Something might give. Stuck in your grip. My back's up again. Our IRE Chat with Sammy Constantine.
Make sure to follow all our socials. You may find more information in the show notes. Please rate our podcast and let us know what you think of it. I hope you stay safe with everything going on right now. To keep yourself occupied, go ahead and catch our chats on YouTube as well. Thanks for listening to our IRE Chat, and I'll see you soon.